we're heated by hot water, and everything's fixed. That should be warmer in here today. I think the next time you come to the trip, probably the next cruise we should be, we're installing all of our upgrades with projectors and new screens. You'll see that next week. So you'll see some transformations in our building. We're really excited about that. Today is the kickoff, really, for to get started in the 3-year plan. We did the assessment earlier in November, and then we had some different scheduling conflicts. And now we're back to start the next 5 weeks that we'll spend together, counting today, and then 4 more to March 15th. The goal for today is to identify three areas that we're going to focus on in the next planning. I'm going to hand it over to Gayla and her team. So they can kick off with what the process is going to be looking like for us. We have about 3 hours to take a break, and then we'll go into our regular meeting for the resources.
Does anyone notice anything different about me? Yes. My shoes. So I thought before I had to tell each one of you individually what happened to my foot, I would just share the story. And that helped start. So I saw you all in November, and at that time I had 2 amputatory legs, for those of you who are at the November meeting. I go over to Scotland with my husband, thinking we'll do wonderful hikes through the Highlands, and on Christmas Eve day, we go to visit one of the most beautiful castles in Scotland, Dunedin, if anyone knows it. And it was closed, but we thought we could at least walk around it, right? And it was a sunny day, but below 32. So my husband's walking ahead of me. He hits ice. He slips. I see him go back. I see his head hit the concrete, and he's bleeding. So what would any good wife do? I rush to his aid, and I slip, and I then have what I think is the worst sprain in my life. But we've got to focus on my husband, right? Are his eyes dilating? How bad is the bleeding? A bus pulled up. Tourist bus, and on it was a nurse. So they were taking care of him. They had a first aid kit. It was just great. But it had something, right? His eyes were dilating. He was fine. I limp over to a bed. We limp to the car. We go to Loch Ness. And I discovered my first motorized wheelchair. So that was great. I could go see the Loch Ness castle there. We get up to Inverness. It's Christmas Eve. I iced it. I elevated. My husband buys from this local drugstore a little wrapped around it. So the next day, I walk a mile on it. But it keeps getting bigger and bigger. So 2 days later, I go, we're now I think we better go to ER. So I broke my fibula. So they said, do not stand on this. So for 8 weeks, I've been in a wheelchair. I've had 3 hard casts. We continued on with our trip. Came back to the U.S. They put me in cast. Going on down, and this is the first week where I've been able to get a soft cast so I can stand up for you. Yeah. Otherwise, I would have been good. So that's my story. It's great to be back. My name is Gayla. Gayla Fitzpatrick, for those of you who have not worked with us before. I'm Kate Consulting, who have worked with Claire on their first strategic plan in 2014. And we're excited to be back to work with you on subsequent updates. 2 vice presidents of KH will be working through this process with you and your action planning team. Charlie Moore.
I see some familiar faces here.
And Bob Schilling. My email is on the cover slide, gayla@khgg.com. If you ever have any questions, guess what Bob's email is? Bob@khgg.com. And guess what Charlotte's is?
Charlotte.
You need to reach any of us, those are our emails. So, I see some new faces.
I'm so confused myself.
Bob and Charlotte don't know all of you. Will you indulge us and have you simply go around so we know your name? I have districts for you. And I'm going to grab a little piece of paper here.
Oh, so we have a mic. Gayla, there's a mic if you need it, just in case.
Hi.
There's a mic up there if you need it.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Tell me what a mic.
Gayla, we are recording the session. It may be helpful for the recording.
All right. The problem is it's not mobile, and I tend to like to walk. But I shouldn't walk.
So it's helping you.
meant to be a woman around.
All right, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Hello, my name is Juan, and I'm from the University of LUC.
Good morning, my name is Lorena Sevilla, and I work for LUC. So, for my LUC, we're in the entire office here of Representative UCLA.
Hi, Joe.
I'm from
LUC.
Hi, I'm Anne. I'm a two half. I'm a school board member at Mostly Unified, and I work for LUC.
I'm Amy Gill.
Phil Tenorio, point person at Montpelier.
Bob Miller, LACCD.
Adrienne Mullen, LACCD.
Lancy Asturias, Los Angeles Regional Adult Education Consortium.
Justin Lawrence, LARIC.
Nice.
Michelle Steele, LARIC office.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Elvis Benia, Culver City Conference.
All right, so all of you have a handout. Essentially, you can read the agenda. But what we're going to be doing is really three chunks to the workshop today. We're going to be going through the planning objectives and scope, the planning schedule, the framework that the state is requiring for this planning effort. They're a lot more structured, as I mentioned, in November. And then in November, we did a quality assessment, which the state has requested, and I thought we'd use the first part of the morning to go back and look at and see if you're in agreement with how that assessment came out, because that's going to be one of our foundations. The second third, we're going to really start thinking about what were the priorities for the last 4 years, what is the progress made, and what should our priorities be for the next 4 years. The last third is once we've agreed on the priorities and we've scoped them, how we're going to figure out who should be on what action planning team for each priority to help figure out the strategy and the plan going forward. So that's what we plan to accomplish by 12:30. Any questions on the agenda? Okay. All right, so just as a refresher, the regional plan is focusing on the years 2019 through 2022. We need to look at the strategies across all 5 districts. So if there's something you're going to do that's unique to your district, we do not need to put it in the plan. It's really where we look at those interfaces between the school districts and the community colleges or across the school districts in terms of curriculum. And we've been working on this for a while, so you know that. So those are the main issues. And I'll get into later about the actual format. The other big difference is the state's sort of asking for it to be simpler, more user-friendly. I don't think we need to produce a huge text like we did last time. I think it needs to be really succinct in terms of their templates, in terms of what the goals and the objectives and the outcome that you anticipate to have. So again, you'll see the template they proposed. So this is the schedule, and it's very, very aggressive. The reason why we have to figure out who will be on the action planning teams by the end of the day is we're going to start workshopping with them next Friday. And we'll be...
That's okay.
We'll be workshopping with them every Friday for 3 Fridays in a row, which actually is a very efficient way of doing it. If you remember when we did this in 2014, we ran a series, I think it was 4 or 5 of these sessions. Didn't have any base to start with, and we were able to come up with an overall strategy. So I think now that we're building on the plan of the past, updating it going forward, 3 sessions will be sufficient. What we're going to ask the action planning teams then to do in the 4th Friday, and you'll see the date is March 15th, and you all should mark this down, is we're going to have them come and present to you what they're proposing, and you as the executive committee are going to review it and give feedback and reactions. So that's a very important time. Now, any one or all of you can participate in any of the action planning teams if you want. You can send other people from your school district, but you will be the body that will be hearing their plans and making suggestions of revisions and offering ideas of how to improve them. Okay? And we will be the ones who will be owning them. So at that point, we will make a decision of how we meet with you next to refine it before you submit to the state. So this is the timeline. The goal is to have the final regional plan to go to the state by June. And I think Adrian would like it wrapped up by May.
Yeah, I think we have to submit by between April and May.
So does this timeline work for you all?
So wait, why do we have to? So when is it due to the state? What's the actual due date to the state?
It's moving, but it looks like it's mid-April, May.
So I'm sorry.
Right.
So we
do not have a final date. It has changed several times already. The latest one that was provided was at the beginning of May. We have not been given an actual date yet.
So the reason for it being done is because that date is changed.
Well, the reason for it to be done is so what we can come both. That's part of it. The other part is we've got to go back and, you know, if there's anything that comes out of the summit that we need to change or reframe, we have the time frame to do that. April, we start hitting everybody's spring breaks. So we want to make sure we vet appropriately, we get the feedback. If we have to tweak anything, the state is famous for changing frameworks at the last minute, that we have time to go back and do that as well. The last time, the week that it was due, they added several templates that we had to scramble and do. So we're online to hit the target deadline, regardless if it's April, May, June. We're going to be in the right framework.
The other thing that was somewhat masterful was putting together the schedule for these workshops, because all of you have slightly different spring breaks. So I know Adrian, Ann, and others, it's very hard to sort of figure out, should we sort of extend them and have a little bit more time past spring break, but we're going to have too much of a gap before they finish the work and came before you. So we have a pretty aggressive timeline up to this March 15th, but it easily gives us a month to 6 weeks to finalize it, even if the state's due date's May 1st. So it should be okay. Any other questions on the timeline? Okay. All right. So, one of the things I would very much like to do is set up a teleconference call with each of the five districts. And so one of the things I want you to think about is what would be a good time for me to call you. And I can give you a conference call number and all of that. And so when we have the break, maybe you can powwow as a school district, figure out what works for you all. I'll check my calendar, give you a couple of options, and we can get those set up. The reason I want to talk to you each individually is I know each of you have some unique circumstances that you want to make sure we're aware of as we go into the planning process. We, of course, are going to be looking for what are those points of commonality that make sense from a regional collaboration perspective. So do teleconferences work for everyone? Okay. Okay, so let's talk about the framework. So this is from the state. The state has divided the planning process into the pre-planning assessment, where you do the evaluation. And I had you all start that in November. We're going to revisit it again. There's a community need and customer need assessment. How many of your districts have already done this kind of community assessment? None of you. Any of you?
No. Not necessarily tied to the community, but all of our schools participate in the accreditation process.
Right, the accreditation.
So they have to do that as part of the process, but not aware of any coordinated LARIC efforts at the moment.
Okay, so they are asking for this. If you all can get us the data that you have on your adult ed population and your community, we will write it up. Do you all have data? Accreditation reports would have some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So the sooner you can get that to us, we can be preparing that in parallel to the working groups, and we can ask the working groups to also look it over. But again, it's going to be a section of the plan that goes into the state. So let me just go around and make sure you're okay. Burbank, can you give us some information?
Yes, we're accredited. We have reports. In fact, we're starting our process right now. What I would like to know is, so that we're in sync, is specifically what it is you're looking for, so that I can take it.
Okay, so let's look at what the state says. They want to make sure you understand your community and your current customers and regional labor market opportunities. So those are the three categories. I realize you may be giving them to us in different formats. I don't want to force you to try to fit a standard template. We'll figure out a way to format it. I don't want to attach the whole accreditation report.
No.
So just the section that's relevant to adult ed. I think it would be great if we have enrollment trends pre-2014, and we could look at what's happened the last 4 years going forward. In terms of the community, you know, I think it's important to describe the communities you serve, and I'm sure that's in your accreditation report. And then finally, the market. What are the job opportunities in terms of career technical pathways for your folks? Okay? How about Culver City?
So the accredited, actually, we're also in the process of a new accreditation. So we're updating our community profile. We will have all the data about our students and all of that. I think in terms of labor, market, county stuff, I think because we're such a small area, I don't know, and we're staff also at the AJC, the workforce. Yeah. So is there any data around labor force separated out by that particular area? Or it's usually countywide,
not that hyper-localized.
Right. So we're a 7 mile radius, so I don't know.
I know. But you might want to build the entertainment industry,
some
of the careers.
We have so much of a giant generally
in that. So
yeah, I mean, I think you can describe yourself as sort of a unique community versus Burbank, versus Montebello. I mean, obviously the regional data will come into play for LACCD and LAUSD. Okay, yes. We could give you a template, but I think it's actually easier for you if you give us the data in those three areas. Describe your community, describe your student enrollments. I'll send you all an email with this as an outline. I think we need your enrollment data, headcounts, and your full-time equivalent students pre-2014 to present, and then a description of what you see as your market business opportunities. And then we'll massage it into a coherent document. Okay? Does that make sense? I mean, I'm trying to make it easy for you, and we can take on that bit of the work. I'm not looking for more than a page to 2 pages per district. Okay? So this isn't a tune, but I think we can capture how different the five are, and yet you're one region. Okay? So I'm going on around. How about LAUSD?
Yeah.
You're going to take on? Okay.
We can certainly put that together. I'd also like to suggest, our staff wants to weigh in. I mean, we did do surveys periodically. Collaborative surveys. I'm not sure if that the latest one was last year, but I know there was a longitudinal. So there may be some longitudinal data we can provide.
That'd be great. That would be great. Okay. So I've got Burbank, Culver City, Montebello. Yes. What? Can you do it?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions? And again, your community will be a very different profile from the other ones. That'll be an important descriptor. And then finally, LACCD.
Well, yes,
we got it.
You're all cool with that? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I will send out a reminder email. We can talk about it more in the telephone conference call. But just keep in mind, it's three buckets. Just, you know, sort of an overview profile of your adult ed students, looking at the trends since pre-2014, describing your community, and then what you see as your market industry. Now, are you all familiar that the federal government had identified 17 job categories or fields that would be leading to higher paid jobs for the next generation? and that the state of California looked at that and they identified that there are 16 in the state, and LA looked at it and there are 15 of them in LA. Link Learning was one of the ones looking at the data. And from that, they started developing the pathways. So again, I think we can tie it to some of those trends as well, if that makes sense for everyone. Okay. So the community needs assessment is something I want us to jump on right away. If we do the conference calls within the next week or two, do you think you can get us the data within the next week or two? I mean, I'm hoping you have this information. It's just a matter of cutting and pasting it for sort of files. Anyone having trouble with a two-week turnaround? Okay. Now, today we're going to focus on identifying the goals and strategies. We're going to be doing some workshops with the posters around the room. And this is really looking at how you want to improve the programs and services and the related strategies, activities, and expected outcomes to get there. What you're going to focus on is defining what you want the action planning teams to develop in this area. And then they're very interested in the very end that we have some piloting and we have an implementation plan. That we'll put together after we have a summit and you hear from the action planning teams of what they come up with. Based on what you agree that you want to do, we can then prepare the implementation plan and identify those areas that are going to be ongoing and what is the reason they want to pilot. Okay? Yes.
Gayla, going back to the community needs and customers, if I'm not mistaken, the template from the state includes a table that needs to be filled out with all of the surrounding providers of adult education services for each one of the districts and locations that we have.
I don't remember the surrounding areas. I can send out to all of you what it is the state has, because I know the table you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
So we'll look at that.
Right, because I would imagine that would take a little bit longer to compile,
right.
Because it would be a lot, you know, particularly for LAUSD, would be and for the community colleges, it would be a lot of information to be added with those things.
I thought it was just for your participants. I didn't think it was for your neighbors. But I'll double check that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
But what he's talking about, there's a table where we put in these enrollment patterns, and we'll send you the link. And that will help you.
Actually, I'm referring to the table that requests the name of the service providers and also the funding for
the
each
funding one.
The
funding one is a whole other table.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more complicated.
Yes.
I'm going to get to that later.
Okay.
Why don't we do this? Do we have internet access to these computers? So at the break, I'm going to see if we can activate the link so you can look at what tables we're talking about.
Okay.
Okay. Because you're right. Online as much as we can get folks to fill in those tables. But again, we should confirm if it's for the neighboring institutions as well. Okay. But again, you know, if it is a neighboring, we would have more time than just the next 2 weeks. But I want to start with your data, your community profile, that kind of thing.
The template.
So these questions on the four phases.
If you can pull it up, exactly. You can go to the website.
Okay. So, in November, how many of you were part of the organizational assessment in November? Okay. So, we were asked by the state, they identified five areas, and when people looked at the definitions, many of you commented they seemed a little bit odd, but they were what the state wanted. They clustered around capacity, connection, entry, progress, and completion. People broke into smaller groups, and I'll show you the scales. But basically, the idea was to rate what progress you've made on a scale of 1 to 5. And 1 means we really need to make an improvement. We haven't moved much in this area. And 5 means we really have been exceptional. So that's sort of the scale.
Okay.
There's another one which was unsures, and nobody put in unsures. Now, if you flip in your handout, we'll come to a page that looks like this, and it's not numbered, but you'll have to go further back and you'll see text. It's Appendix B, yes. Did everybody find it? Okay, and for this, I am going to sort of sit down, I think. So I'm going to have too many things to handle here. Okay, so if you turn to page 3 of it, what you're going to see is the actual text that people looked at. So let's just look at the first one. This is under capacity number 1. And at one extreme, they have no staff positions are charged with overall consortium management. And then the 3 rating was part-time staff are charged with overall responsibility. And 5 was we have 1 or more staff. And as a consortium overall, you all rated yourselves in the middle. Some of the districts do have full-time staff, some have part-time, some are still working on it. So one of the things we need to do is go through a confirmation that you're comfortable with where these ratings have come out. Does this one make sense for staffing? Or do all districts have 1 or more staff charged with overall consortium management and coordination?
I'm not sure what your question is, but I think that's fine.
So one of the things I want to do, and I'm not going to go through line by line, I want you to then to read them quietly, but I want to make sure that if we turn this into the state, you're comfortable with being rated as a 3.
Well, we have full-time staff.
Pardon?
We have full-time staff.
I know you have full-time.
But
yes?
Are we talking
so the state did not say this one way or the other.
Because I think there probably are some districts that may not have full-time staff, but as a consortium, we do have a full-time merit staff. So I guess it depends on how we want to interpret this question.
Yeah, I mean, I personally thought you were a little hard on yourselves, because I think, don't all of you have at least part-time? And I think
when we talk about overall consortium management and coordination, to me that our merit staff.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. So I think we should rate ourselves higher.
That would be my sense as well. That's why I wanted to start with this one.
Yeah, and I think that because this is a LEREC plan, so the interpretation really should be at the LEREC level as opposed to the individual level.
Right.
I mean, you know, it all...
But and it says overall consortium management and coordination, so I could say you have that, do you not?
Yeah. But I think that, I guess, the goal is that it gets to the collaboration and it gets to the students. So if we're... I think that a 5 indicates something we're not at yet.
Right, but I think you're higher than a 3. That's all I'm saying. I think this might be one where you could be a 4, and we can add some anecdotal information about some districts have full-time, some have part-time, LEREC has full-time, but there's still so much more to do. Yes?
So I think the confusion is that when we did this exercise, I think it was in this room.
Yes.
I understood it as from my history. So that is why I was pretty humble in going with that. But I have to say that if we're not looking at it just strictly from an individual district perspective, then we're trying out loud. We've got a full-time project manager, and we've got actually full-time staff now to support. So I think we would be a 5.
I mean, I definitely think you're higher than a 3. That's why I'm raising. And if you notice, we have the observation and comment. We can elaborate on that at that point. How many feel it should be elevated from a 3? How many feel it should be a 4? How many feel we can go to a 5? Okay, let's up it. Okay. So this is what we need to do with every single section, is to make sure you're comfortable with it. So we can either divide it up, or we can just have you quietly read these pages, make some notes, and then ask for feedback. What is your preference? Yes?
Kayla, I think that the discussion that each question generates is helpful, and would also help us arrive at consensus as a consortium. So I think if we do it as a group, it might be
okay,
a better
suggestion
option.
Suggestion as a group. Others?
I like that.
You like the group idea. Okay. All right. So is it okay if I just read them off?
Yeah.
And then we can go thumbs up, thumbs down. Okay, the next one is consortium seldom convenes to discuss progress towards goals. And you all rated yourself as a 5. Consortium frequently convenes to discuss progress towards goals. I think clearly you do that. Any disagreement? Next one. Consortium has significant documented processes and procedures for facilitating collaboration and coordination. Rated a 5. Any disagreement? Veronica?
I just don't see the collaboration and the coordination at a 5. Yeah.
Sure.
Are we talking at the LARIC level or are we talking about the implementation level?
They're still talking at the LARIC because if you look at it, it's shared calendars, bylaws, governance.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. So this is all capacity. They want to know if you have the capacity to run something on a regional basis.
Yes.
Okay, so we're okay with that one?
Yes.
On 1.2.1, actually, if you read the bigger blue banner, the topic is consortium agencies have the leadership, management, accountability processes necessary to meet community need for adult ed. You rated yourself 3. Some agency leaders with consortium leadership roles have the knowledge, skills, and abilities to meet the goals and objectives of the California Adult Education Program. And I think this is where it's really driving it down more to the individual districts. Because we're talking about principals, college staff, deans, directors. Is 3 accurate? Too hard on yourselves?
I think it's higher than 3.
I think it's higher than 3.
I think it's
4.
Yeah.
4 or 5.
I think you're being hard on yourselves. How many think they're happy with 3? How many think it should be at least a 4? And do I hear 5? Okay, going once? Going twice? We're going with 4. You rated yourselves 3. Resource allocations for some agency leadership positions are not commensurate with community need and program size. My sense is you're still struggling with the resource allocation model, and that this is probably a pretty fair one. Any disagreement with the 3 on this? Anybody feel it should be lower or higher? Okay. 1.2.3. You rate yourselves as a 5. Mostly all agencies can be said to participate fully in consortium activities. Everyone in agreement, you are a 5 on participation.
Yes.
Yay! Okay. Is this fun?
Yeah.
All right. The next topic was consortium agencies have resources that promote adult learning and provide high levels of access to communities of need. And you rated yourselves a 3. Some agencies have staffing models that support agency-wide coordination and collaboration to achieve high levels of student success and AVG outcomes. So you're saying there's room for growth. Okay, I see someone going with a 4. Do I see anybody else who wants a 4? How many want a 3? Hands up for a 3. Hands up for a 4. Anyone for a 5? We're between a 3 and a 4. Discussion. Pardon? Oh, you make it so hard for me to do these tables. Can we add comment there? Why? What's going on? Yes.
Well, the reason why I chose 4 is because I think all of our agencies have mock staffing in place to accomplish. I think all of our agencies have the staffing in place to do better. Yes.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that some agencies don't have that in place. And I think we all have staffing in place to support
right.
the work of the consortium. It may not be at the ideal level. But this suggests that some don't have that, and I would disagree with that. Everyone has it at some level.
Okay, so that's an argument for 4. Mm-hmm. Argument for 3. Bob?
No, not for 3. I agree with Joe.
You're
on
going
4.
Along with 4.
Mm-hmm.
You may be persuading others. Arguments for 3. Did he convince you all to go to a four?
So I think the reason why there's a three here is these things are they're worded kind of funky. You have to break it down.
I know.
Yeah. It's typical government talk. So it says support agency-wide coordination and collaboration. And so I don't want to speak for Culver City, but this is where it becomes difficult for smaller districts, because we all wear so many hats, to be able to do these things. And I think I erred on the side of caution and gave us a three on this.
I think that's true.
Because we don't have dedicated people
that comes out
for this kind of work, yeah. Coordination and collaboration.
So, I think this is one where it's split, isn't it? It's different if you're a small district.
I mean, I'll go before, but I'm telling you why I...
Right.
I like it more to go to a four, but that's exactly the reason. And there's no definition in four. So, conceivably, what you just said should be put in four.
So we could add a notation that all have staff in place, maybe not at the ideal level. It's really hard for the small districts when they don't have fully dedicated staff at the consortium level. The reason why I thought you were a little hard on yourselves is you have been sending your faculty to come up with an ESL curriculum that's common across the district. I mean, that's a huge collaborative effort right there. And that was no easy task. So I really
so three says just when you look at your grading chart,
right?
Three says the consortium is doing well in this area, but needs additional work to be addressed.
Right.
Four says the consortium is doing very well in this area and need only a few improvements to be accepted.
So let's stay at three.
So that's why I think it's still at three.
The definition.
It's part of this per definition.
It's page 2 of the attachment. So 4 would be like a B plus.
Right.
See, the problem is, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be difficult, but when you look at this page, Madam Chair just pointed out page 2,
right.
And it says the consortium, I look at it as the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And in which case, then, we're not agreed.
Right.
But when we looked at this, again, I revert back to the fact we're a small district, so I don't have a dedicated staff member to do coordination and collaboration within, where that's all they do, within the consortium. So therefore, I gave us three.
Yeah.
But when I look back at this, and I look at the consortium, my thing would be, we're probably a 4 or 5.
Yeah. Yeah, Kayla?
Yeah, Charlotte?
Look at the definition. It says consortium.
Agencies. It says agencies.
It says agencies. It doesn't say consortium for both. It's not that it's a agency. Agencies
have
resources
that
promote
1.3.
Yeah.
Look at the green line, 1.3.
That one is specifically talking about within the consortium.
That's
the whole thing.
So I think a notation that essentially says that the larger agencies are 4, the smaller agencies are 3,
if
you guys agree, would be the way to respond to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why don't we do that? We'll say larger 4, smaller 3. And we know there's opportunities for improvement. Are people comfortable with that? I think that's better than a 3.5 because it really tells a story. So how many are supportive that we put both 3 and 4 and define that the 3 is for the small, 4 is for the large?
Yeah, so
hands up? Thumbs up? Yay!
The question is, where does Montebello fit in that equation?
So are you at 3 or 4?
Yeah,
they're 3.5.
Allocation wise, they're bigger than you guys are.
They're biggie small.
They're biggie small.
So, do you feel Montebello is your. Where would you rate yourself at 3 or 4? Is that what you're.
I think we talked about the large. I'll make it clear it's LAUSD, LACCD.
Okay.
I won't spill anything.
Okay. 1.3.2, you rated yourselves as a 1. Few agencies have access to sufficient number of classrooms and other learning spaces appropriate to adult learners. You said across the board that's a problem. Okay, see someone who's proposing a 3. Do you feel 1 was too hard? Or not? A 3 is some agencies have access to a sufficient number of classrooms and other learning spaces appropriate for adult learners.
So the reason why I think 3 is because I think access isn't necessarily the issue. It's more, we have a lot of folks approaching us for more classes.
Right.
And saying, hey, here's a facility. It's more, we just don't necessarily have the resources to go there and provide the service. At least for LAUSD.
So you at LAUSD is saying we have plenty of classrooms, we don't have the teachers. We have the demand in terms of the adult learners, but space isn't an issue. Okay, I'm used to the colleges having a huge problem getting space. I don't know if that's been resolved.
Well, with...
Because usually they have to fight with the credit programs for classroom times and spaces. Particularly the big colleges like City College and a lot of adult ed.
But I think it's... I don't think... I would not put us at a 1. In our district, I would not. I mean, I think that's...
So one's too hard?
One's too hard.
What about the other districts? Do you have trouble getting space?
Oh, we have very, very tiny, limited space.
So Culver City's hard. What about Bovee?
Quality self-assessment. Should be part of the...
Montebello, you should be doing a little powwow. Ruby, a 2? So Culver City's a 1, Montebello's a 2. And where would you put Culver City? 2?
Should be out here.
I'm sorry, Burbank 2. Where would you put LAUSD? It's a 3. And where would you put LACCD?
We're a 3, but it's becoming easier to find space on our campuses, but it's also very natural for us to have programs off of our campuses
right.
as we go to the students. So I think we're definitely at 3.
So again, I think we'll show a split on that. Okay? Okay, 1.4. Professional development provides opportunities for faculty and staff to turn new knowledge into practice. And you rated yourselves a 1 on both items. New program staff member representatives are expected to learn about ABG policies on their own. Okay, I hear a recommendation to go to 3.
3.
What about Montebello, Culver City, and Burbank? Sorry, what did you mean? You say 3? Culver City and Burbank?
I think so. But 3 in that we are such a small school that my conversation is directly with my teams all the time. It's easy. I think what I hear in this statement is about does this message get out to everybody else? And so again, Culver City, because we're so small, I walk into a room across from me and have a conversation with people about everything. Is that the same thing as training?
I think it is. You know, it's more informal, but I think if we went and talked to any of your staff working adult ed, they would know what AABG is, correct?
So we could.
And you're not just saying to them, go figure it out on your own.
Right.
Go check it out on the website.
Right.
Well, and I think a lot of, like, I know our district does a lot of training for our staff about non-credit adult education. I don't know if they, and I think they would know Larry. I don't know. But I think there's a lot of training that happens in-house that's required because they're employed by your district, right?
So would you remain a 3 on this one that was proposed earlier?
I'd say a 3 or 4.
Okay, so far I'm waiting now on Bill Ray.
Oh, Lord. I need a Ouija board. I'd say, you know, 3.
Okay, everybody comfortable if we put a 3 on that one? Yay, hands up.
Yeah.
Okay, you also raised yourselves very hard on existing professional development for staff has not been aligned to ensure that the skills of staff meet consortium mission and outcome goals. Pardon? And the note was struggling in this area. Okay, I see another thing, 3 to 4. Again, I think you're very hard on yourselves. Aren't you doing training?
Yeah, I don't think
so. Yeah.
Aren't they looking at the mission and the goals? How many people feel this is too hard, that you're more than a one? Okay. How many feel it should stay a one? Okay, how many feel it could go to three? It's been proposed that it could go three or higher. And what's your argument for why it should be a three? And you're going to have to project a little bit.
I think that we certainly have, we make a good effort to get training and try it broadly. Not everybody takes us up on it, right?
I just want to point
out broadly, so I think it's fair to say that some staff do take advantage of it, not all, but I would certainly say some.
Okay, other thoughts?
Did that put you to a three?
Some people you haven't heard from? Okay, how many, let's just have a show of hands. How many are comfortable with one? How many feel it should be maybe a two? You want to explain why?
Well, I'm sorry to say, the meeting that comes down to the last year, that I again, I'm thinking of our teachers and our services stuff.
You're going to have to project a little bit more.
There was professional development that was stopped last
year. Oh, so it stopped last year. Okay. That would have been in 2018? Okay. So any the other districts, how many feel it should be a three? So for LACCD, I see a three. Culver City, are you a three? Burbank, are you?
I want a lot more, but I'll be a three.
Okay, and LAUSD, are you comfortable with three? I saw maybe a desire to go a little bit higher, but we can go to three. The reason why I think this is important, think about how this will come across to the state. I think you all, as educators, tend to be very hard on yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that you're here, the consortium, yep, the interactive process you went through 4 years ago, the progress against the strategic plan, I mean, you, in many ways, I hope, must feel you are a model for the state, do you not? So what they want to do is see progress.
Certainly, the state of affairs is not ideal when it comes to professional development, and I think that we're comparing ourselves to the ideal. But I think there have been a tremendous amount of activities with the subject matter experts, work groups. There have been activities within the point persons team to define professional development. Being professional development across all districts, several activities. It's not as easy to coordinate and to set up, you know, so on and so forth, because everybody has their own PD, as Dr. Mullen noted. But I think that there is certainly enough to be a four. And in my conversations with other consortia, you know, certainly we're doing, in my estimation, significantly more than many others.
So there you have an argument to go higher than three. Yes.
Do you have a lot of PD available in professional development, and especially with stuff you want to get involved, we have provided a lot of training for it. If it has been available, that doesn't mean that everybody works.
Right.
I agree that the district and the USDs are here and able to convey this message and get everybody involved. Even in regional meetings at the school side, I think it's a very well, it's not a head speech, but it's a long
time. So I have another crazy question. Would it help if we push these tables closer together? Right. So either this side moves over there or you all move over here. Your tables are on wheels. But I think we should reconfigure this, because this is not conducive to conversation in my mind. And I can't move furniture with my legs. this is going to be a team activity to figure out how we get closer together.
You guys are too close now. Be careful, she makes so coffee on you guys.
Oh no.
No, I only do it on the table, not on the stairs. I do it on the stairs. We have everything in that one in the
Okay. How are you doing? Okay. We have made it through part one, and there are four more parts to go through. Can we do this for another 15 minutes and I'm going to give you a break?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Is this a better configuration?
Yes.
Okay. So the next section is called connection.
Where do we end up on?
I thought we ended up that you all are going to be at 3, Montebello was at 2, and you are correct. We can now resolve because LAUSD can argue that maybe you are 4.
I'll go with them. 4.
I'm 4. I can go. We do a huge conference for 5.
You do a huge conference?
Yeah.
Yes, there you go.
But we're still not doing a coordinated, as much as a coordinated effort.
But I think we have to determine what our role is in that. If our role is to provide opportunity, and then districts push people, their faculty and staff to those opportunities, or we provide opportunities as part of a menu of a greater menu of, you know,
what
professional development.
What opportunities have we had to set the conference?
With the PLC, training.
Right.
Yeah.
FSI.
Yes. And we do that. We have the counseling work group. We have data and accountability.
Data and accountability isn't really okay. I can move to that direction?
I think professional development comes in different forms. So it may not be open to everyone, but you can do general professional development that's open to everyone, and you can do targeted professional development because you want to bring people to the same playing field or the same foundational base. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to offer a menu across the board of open and as well as targeted.
So we're not the Soviet Republic. We do have autonomous states. Ooh. And part of this is that we have consortium level activities for professional development. We're not to pat ourselves back, we're just conferring here. But we also do a lot. We don't advertise it to everybody else.
Right.
But I would submit that all of us, especially as we look at our accreditation action plans, mm-hmm. and looking at those regularly and monitoring them and preparing for the self-study, that's intense professional development. The colleges do mm-hmm. it as well. Mm-hmm. We just don't advertise. So if we look at all these pieces,
I
think we're certainly more than.
Yes.
I agree. I'm on your team.
So let's have hands go up, and then we'll come back to Montebello, rating number 2. Are the other 4 districts on there leaning toward 3? Raise your hand. How many want to go to 4? And I see Montebello's hand going up to 4. Are you still voting for Montebello going up as part of 4? Or
okay.
I mean, this is Montebello and Culver City together, we're on 3. 4 of 4. So we're all, can you go to 4?
Yes.
Culver City?
sure, as long as the new actions have very specific targeted things. We're talking about where we work, right? I want to make sure that's still part of our next thing.
We'll say high priority going forward. Okay. And I can make a notation in Montebello's session down the top in 2018, but it's still a consortium opportunity. That work pretty well? Okay. All right, now, connection. Are you all ready for connection? This is on page 7. The 2.1, consortium members collaboratively engage prospective students from communities of high needs to provide services in aligned program areas. And you were totally split on this. Some said few, if any, programs are developed for annual recruitment. And then others said mostly all programs develop annual recruitment plans, the stretch goals, the number of students enrolling in program areas. And the five reflected LACCD and the local schools having recruitment plans, as well as your last KPI, the marketing plan. The rating of one reflected such plans have yet to be developed at the consortium level. I see a hand going up.
Yeah, so I mean, LAUSD, I believe, would be in the five category, so if you want to make that note, we are split. Because we do actively engage at a high level in that
aspect. And you'd be actively, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the consortium perspective, I would say that we are at least a three. We have developed a marketing plan, which is, you know, in various stages of implementation, and it uses a lot of existing tools that are already in place, you know, for recruitment at each one of the districts.
How many feel one is too harsh? How many are comfortable with the three and the five being split? As worded. How many have another suggestion?
Well, let me just say that we'd be actually happy with the five because we spent a lot of time with outreach, but I understand if we're talking about a consortium, it would be hard to say that. But as an individual, it's five. As a consortium, maybe it's a three or four.
No worries.
Okay, so let's keep this one split and I'll add those mutations. And we're no longer one. 2.1.2, another split. Few programs conduct outreach or early engagement. It's number one. Five is mostly all programs conducted. And these are split because the five reflect the LACCD and the local schools district with the same notations.
I always put the same notation as 2.12 and 2.13.
How many feel it should be identical to the one above? Hand up? Come on.
Yeah, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. What is this?
Opposed?
I didn't even. What were we voting on?
So we're being basically made 2.1.1 and 2.1.2 identical.
Okay.
With a 3-5 split.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All in agreement? Hand up?
Yeah.
Any opposed? Moving on to 2.1.3. Another split. Data are not used to inform recruitment. Is a 1, a 5 is recruitment is consistently informed by data. Do we want to, again, move it to a 3-5 split? All in favor of a 3-5 split? Any opposed? We are rocking and rolling. You want your break? 2.2, consortium agencies demonstrate a no wrong door approach to regional education and training. Here it is, you have the first three, you rated them all as three. Some counselors and advisors are knowledgeable. Counselors and advisors are somewhat comfortable referring students to programs or agencies outside their home campuses, and some agencies have program maps that clearly delineate requirements and career pathways. So we want to remain in the middle on all three.
I think we're on that whole section after we reference up where we are. 2.2.1, 2.3, and 2.4.
And on 2.2.4, that was rated 5. Curriculum are mostly all organized around common standards.
Yeah.
Are people comfortable with those ratings? I'm going to try to do that.
Yes.
Okay. And then 2.2, consortium agencies demonstrating no wrongdoing and they are related as a five. Well, this is a continuation. We're done. We go on to category 3 of entry.
Wait, there's one. There's a left. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Page 10. Consortium members orient adult learners in a manner that is culturally responsive and promotes self-efficacy and confidence. And again, right in the middle, some programs provide differentiated orientation for first-time students. Some partnerships exist among a few providers in the community to provide counseling, social, and academic support. Are you comfortable with those two? Any disagreement?
Well, we're probably a 5 on the first one because we have to be.
So
but I mean, we could be a 4. We can live with 3. I'm not going to die on this mountain. But
you
we have.
To,
well, five. We have to do it for the student success legislation, where we meet with everybody, do an ed plan, orientation, counseling.
I think that's an important notation.
Yes.
We all agree, like that's ultimately where we all want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
We have a member of us already kind of.
Okay.
So are you suggesting a 4?
Yeah, that's
five?
Fine. I would say a 4.
The first one.
4 is fine.
So a 4?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
are you talking, Joe, about having this, like, LACC be listed as a 5 or a consideration that it is included
well,
in the number?
I don't really, I'm not concerned so much about the rating other than just capturing
rotating.
That.
Yeah.
I think the college kind of has a more ideal target that we should all kind of hopefully get up to. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, however we want to note that, I just think that's an important call out.
So why don't I put 3, 4, 5?
Okay.
Let me make the notation that LACCD is probably the role model for this, with the ed plan and all that. And I think the rest of you have to decide if 3, 4 is sort of the right band or is 3 too low. How many feel 3 is too low?
I think 3 is too low. I think we're more 4 than we are 3.
Mm-hmm.
And we're happy to live with 4, trust me.
So how many on 3.1.1 would like a 4-5? With the 5 being LACCD. Hands up.
Yeah.
How many? Okay, anybody want a 3-5 split instead? Okay. How about the 3.1.2? Would that be the same?
Yes.
Everybody in agreement that we're going to go with a 4-5 split on 3.1.2?
Well, who's the 5? Who's the 5? Us?
Could you be a 5?
I wouldn't necessarily put myself as a 5 in the 3.12. Program partners provide communities to provide case management services to students, including counseling and social academic support. We do have that. I was thinking community partners, like, yes, yeah, we're fine.
Okay, so we're 3.1.3. All of you said a number 5. Nearly all students have access to high quality counseling services from initial contact. Is that true of Montebello, Burbank, Culver City? Culver City is a no. Burbank, you have it?
Yes.
Montebello, you have it? LAUSD, you have it? LACCD, you have it? So, you will say 5 for everyone from Culver City. Where would you put Culver City? You're a 3. Okay. 3.2. Am I pushing you too fast, too hard? Are you okay with this pace?
Good.
Okay. Consortium members use multiple measures to inform placement, education and career planning, classroom instruction, and continuous improvement. You gave yourselves a 3. There is some consistency among providers regarding assessment, placement, and use of individual learning assessments.
This is such an outdated question, considering where the state is and we're moving completely to multiple measures. I mean,
well, we are not.
I know, but I'm just.
3 is good.
I'm fine.
All agree in 3. Hands up. Thumbs up. Okay. Burbank, you're up.
Yes.
Okay. 3.3. Students complete individualized educational plans that reflect an informed understanding of their educational career options. And this is where we have differences when we get into some programs just under observation. The ratings range between a 2 and a 3. Some students develop individual education plans. Some programs provide integrated career plans.
You know, I would actually go to a 4 simply because it doesn't say all students 100%. I mean, you know, I think that we're all working towards that goal, but there's a tremendous awareness of the need to do that and an increased effort to accomplish that. So I think from that perspective, we're either a 4, even, you know, scratching the 5.
Okay, so why don't I give a 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4 for both of them.
Who's a 2?
Is 2 too hard?
2 is too hard.
Yeah.
Okay, so we take it to 3, 4. Raise your hand, 3, 4. Or do you want just 3? Okay, 3, 4 it is for both of them. Okay. Consortium members collaborated in provision of proactive counseling and support services to promote consistent and long-term student success. These are rated a 2-3. Some programs informally assess student needs and make referrals, and the other ones dedicated advisor, staff, faculty, and coordinate academic and non-academic supports to students with increased resource and international goals.
So I'd like to see us bump a little higher on this one, 3-4.
Yes. How many would like to go to 3-4? On both of them? Hand up for 3-4 on the first one?
Sorry.
Hand up for 3-4 on the second one? Done. Okay.
Sorry. I do not have dedicated advisor staff faculty to coordinate academic and non-academic support to students. Those procedures may not be normal.
I'll put it so in the reception.
Okay, got it. What you got? That must have been where I was. Too. So I'm just
so
trying.
So I'll put you in the shoe for that.
So I'm okay with the idea that it's a 3. What I don't want to get lost in this agreement of 3, 4, 2, whatever the heck the number is the work that we have to still get done.
Exactly.
That's so what I just don't want to get lost in.
Yeah. So the second half, we're going to really focus on progress made, and then what is it you really want to dig into in the next week.
Okay.
So
I'll be here.
And this conversation is really helpful to that. Okay, we are up to 4. Can we wrap this up and give you a break? Okay. Quality indicator 4, progress. So the first one is consortium of members, skill, attainment, and aligned and or articulated programs. It's ahead. And you raise yourself sort of in the middle. Some alignments have occurred. Some curriculum has been updated. And some programs are monitored and for successful alignment.
I'd like to advocate for 4.12 to bump that up to 3-4.
Any rationale to advocate to others?
Yeah, I just think I think we've made more progress than we're giving ourselves credit for, and really the lens through which we're looking at all of our programs really being in alignment to college career and so that should have been well signed. So I think 2 is just too low, and I think that the life we're better than the 2. So I would say it's more knocking on the door of the 5.
So has it convinced you to move 4.1.2 to a 3-4? How many agree with raise your hands? How many disagree? I don't think Paul was sitting way in.
As long as we're consistent, I'm not going to fight with these things. I'm just going to note it in the priorities of things. Because I think there's standard alignment, absolutely, that we've looked at what the standards are to make sure our curriculum is closing. I don't know about how things are articulated. Where, like,
well, that's
why we're answering those two things.
Do you have articulation agreements between Culver City and West LA? Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so that would be something to work on.
So
it's
okay.
Fine.
I'm
okay.
Continue to work.
Okay.
Yeah, I would just also suggest, in the same way that Amelia brought up earlier, that a lot of other things we're doing that we may not be calling LARIC for specific to this work, but they do align, like the work we do with the laws, and the foundation, and the work.
work that we all do in K-12, we really make sure whether it's data G work or a lot of that really aligning to college and career. So I just kind of want to throw that out there. Like, there's a lot of stuff we're doing that we may not always give ourselves credit for because we're looking at it under only the umbrella of Larry, but in fact, there is a lot of alignment happening. So I just kind of want to throw that out there.
My sense is we'll see how the second half goes. Probably Mary needs to help us.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And some of this, also occurs through a lot of great opportunities that exist. So, for example, when you look at 4-1-2, for us, a lot of this motivator occurred last summer at the CASAS Institute, where our team gathered together and said, we can hardly wait to get back to get this revamped or to update this. So there are those opportunities. Joe cited, but I don't call Joe up and say, hey, you know, somebody, he's got a lot on his mind, I got a lot. But those things occur, and I'm sure they occur amongst us as individual members, and especially with IET, a lot of work on this.
But that's why you're not applying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are we at a 3 or a 3-4?
3-4.
Coming for a 3 only? Coming for a 3-4. Okay. Integrated education and training. You rate yourself a 3. Some concurrent enrollment is available. Some contextualized ESL or basic skill courses are provided. Comfortable? Raise your hand if you're comfortable with the 3 ratings for those 2 categories. Okay. Ongoing student support, rated 3. Some agencies have processes for tracking student support needs and acting on data to ensure student success. It says some agencies, not all. Comfortable, you're suggesting a 4, or you're raising your hand?
I'd like us to bump up to a 3, maybe. I'd like to see a 4, because I really do think that, well, maybe even a 5, because I think all agencies have those processes in place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're rating ourselves super low.
Yeah, I think so too.
So looking at 5, it means you actually share the tools across the consortium.
So maybe 4.
Yeah.
I'm going to advocate for 4 on that.
I agree.
No dedicated staff, no any of that stuff to be able to do that in a really coordinated level. So it would be like there's no way we could be we're out of here. So however.
So shall we do a 2, 3, 4 on this one with LAUSD at a 4, Culver City smaller one at a 2?
Maybe we can split the difference
in
like 3-4.
Okay. How many people feel 3-4 works? Raise your hand to 3-4. How many feel it should be a 2, 3, 4?
Yeah, okay with a 3-4.
Okay, let's try it again. How many want 3-4? Okay, we're going to go with 3-4. Relax. Completion transmission. Programs demonstrate effectiveness in transitioning students into post-secondary or the workforce. So, again, you rated yourselves low. There is little to no coordinated case management or formal support for transition into post-secondary or the workforce. You rated yourselves 2-3 on some programs that have formal articulation, dual enrollment policy. And on 5.13, the consortium does not set performance targets and only rarely looks at student achievement in a coordinated way.
I'm going to say 4 because we rated ourselves too low. The reason why is I know for LUSD we're really working closely with city partners, particularly with the close partnership with the Workforce Centers, iTrain, that integrated case management approach. So I'm sure there's some agencies that are working, but I just think 1 is really too low. So anything higher than 1, I'm good with.
5.1.1.
So let's go through each one. 5.1.1, this is coordinated case management. You do that across the consortium.
You don't need
to get
everybody
in the
consortium
to
do it.
Okay, so the into post-secondary is the workforce.
is the question, does every member within the agency do it themselves, or is the question, is it a coordinated effort among the agencies? That's my question, and then that will give you my answer.
So they sort of go from none is one, three is some agencies provide the support, and then five are members that share it all.
So, to your point, some
are doing it with cities and the workforce. Colleges are out there. I think also among ourselves, there is some of that happening. Say there's little or nothing, and it's something.
Right.
We're not adding a little bit of information.
I think we've been hard on ourselves.
We don't have a lot.
How many think it should be higher than one? How many feel it should go as high as a three? How many feel it should go even higher than a three? Let's go with three. On 5.1.2, some programs have far more articulation to enrollment. Are you okay with that rating of three?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On 5.1.3, are you too hard on yourselves? The consortium did not set performance targets, and only rarely look at student achievement in a coordinated way. Is that where you're at? Could be. I don't know.
I would say we're a two, because we don't set our own performance targets, but we do look at, we have been looking at process data, we have been looking at. So I would say we're more a two than a, we don't do it purposely.
How many people feel it should be higher than a one? How many feel two is a good selling point? How many feel it should be even higher? So you're split. So those who think it should be higher than a three, why? So we settle on a 2-3 on this one.
I think that please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think just about all programs have some type of performance targets that they set, right, in their own districts. So, three is some programs may set performance targets. And so from that perspective, to me, we are either a three or a four.
And if you read carefully the language for three, some programs may set performance targets, or there are consortium plans to develop processes to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the confusion is the first one didn't talk about the program, it talked about the consortium, so
it's very, very pale.
Right. I mean, we actually have a data.
Partnerships with local workforce and community service providers are integrated into programs of study. This is rated a 2-3. There are some formal agreements with regional partners to provide support services and a select number of projects. How many agreements?
Well, I think, actually, I'm advocating for 4 on that one. Because I do think the reason why is because our funding is really under the umbrella of workforce development. I think that's a huge focus for us to collaborate with those partners and industry and so forth. So I just think we're way better at 2-3. I'd like to see us in the 4.
I guess 3-4.
I agree fully with Joe on this. I know that we're actively engaged with workforce education on both the credit and non-credit and trying to build bridges between the two pretty actively. So it's a 4-5 in my mind.
So you go 4-5. Okay, so how many I'm going to do this in combination. I'm going to do 3-3-4-4-4-5. You ready to raise your hands? How many feel to be staying at a 3? We agree not a 2. Everybody agree not a 2? How many say 3? 3-4. 4. 4-5. Okay, I'm going to make it a 3-4-5. And
and I'm going to explain that LAUSD and LACCD are doing more. Let me challenge you all on the five. It says, Strover to actively collaborate with partners, provide service learning, job shadowing, mentoring, internships, apprenticeships, or other work-based learning opportunities or services.
Well, I'll defer to Adrian Ann on this, but I know the adult ed deans are focusing that area. On the colleges in particular, as they look at workforce education, increasingly our presidents, VPs, and others are focusing in on the career, guided pathways, the vision for success, all of those things that focus people on employment and gainful employment. So, if everybody wants to go four, I can live with four, obviously, but I do think we're angling in that direction of five.
Absolutely. I think you actually are. I guess my question is, when you talk about nine colleges, you have some who are five, you have some that are four, and you have some that are moving from three up.
Yeah, I think we're more four, because the job shadowing, et cetera, that's really in our academies that are not non-credit. So, like Valley College, and then our credit programs. So, I'm happy with the four.
So, can we get on 3-4? Hands up. 3-4?
No.
Not enough.
No,
3-4. They want 3-4. Which is
4.
We just discussed. I will be making a note that LAUSD and LACCD are more fours.
Okay.
3-4. Hands up. Montebello says no.
4.
You'd like a 4?
Yes.
Okay. What about Burbank?
We go with 4, 4, 5.
Good.
And here's the reason why. Certain programs have this embedded. So if you are a CNA in a CNA program, you have to do your clinicals. If you are a CMA, you have to do externships. We have the electrical apprenticeships. So some of these CT programs require that already. You have an LMN program. They have to do their clinical rotations at a hospital. Some of these programs already have that embedded. I think we're being a little hard on ourselves.
Well, and I think what Bob said is really important, too, about the guided pathways. So when you look at programs now, in the past, it was more, here's an isolated kind of ESL life skills class, whatever. Now we're programming based on a connection with an IET, a connection with a CT. The idea is that it's a lot of pathway instead of a standalone program, and I think we're all doing that.
So the only program, everybody said form in Culver City. We don't have PG programs, so. Okay.
And the disabilities also have to do workforce as well.
Again, I just want to challenge, I believe Culver City is doing it, and I'll say why. Because even if you're operating an ESL program that's aligned with the college career readiness standards that are embedded in all the classes, so again, in the past, these be more just the life skills, whereas now it really is on a pathway, so that as students finish, the idea is they're either concurrently or rolling right into, say, academic or transition piece. Whether you have it or not, it's
right. I guess I see this as not what the goal is or what could happen. I see this as, are we doing this or are we not doing it? So we the AJCC is down the street, and we still haven't developed that to the extent that it needs to be. So I'm just owning that part of what it's
and
not
would,
a totally
and
developed.
I would argue with someone who sits at the workforce centers that they would argue that perhaps
more. Right, that's
okay.
Exactly.
An externship is some, but that's why some of the colleges are actually activating employability skills that is a gap still.
Yeah.
So that one course is not job shadowing, it's still a little bit of a gap.
But I think they'll thought that everybody's in agreement they're trying to move towards this. It's not quite a five, better than average.
And
but
you can just
tell
you. And you can just. I don't want to bring everybody's number down. I'm not pretending that's where we are.
Okay. All right. 5.3, programs conduct continuous improvement planning that is in conjunction with all regional adult education stakeholders. You rated yourselves low, relatively little formal evaluation of program effectiveness is conducted.
I think, like, now that I'm looking at it, every time we do walk, it is intensive. The evaluation of, so we, if we're all walking accredited, we're probably closer to 4 or 5.
4 or 5?
Yeah. Yes.
5?
5. How many people like 4?
many people like five?
We don't use it.
How many people feel that they're too high?
I think it should be 4 or 5. I don't think we're ideally, as a consortium, we're not looking at it in that way yet. We're moving towards that. But I think every district is doing a heck of a lot of that.
I would say 4 or 5.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
People like 4 or 5. Okay, bring me back. Next one is consortium does not conduct meaningful continuous improvement planning. Versus community partners, staff, faculty, students, other stakeholders are sometimes involved in continuous improvement planning. Grade yourself to the end of the team.
So, what are the differences between these two?
The idea of community partners, staff, faculty, staff, and other stakeholders are engaged in continuous improvement planning and are involved in evaluating program effectiveness. I think this is tied in with your accreditation. Do you not involve a lot of people in making that evaluation?
Absolutely.
Wait,
yeah.
5.3?
I mean,
oh,
this.
Oh, the top part is the same. I'm like,
right.
Reading the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
As a matter of fact, this process is evidence of that.
Yeah, this is part of the.
Which we did 3 years ago, 4 years ago. We're doing it again. And every time we do an annual plan, we do a survey to get input from all stakeholders, you know, so on and so forth.
So how many feel 2 is too low? How many would go with 3? How many go with 4? How many would go with 5? How many would go with a combination of 3, 4, 5?
Feels like an eye examination.
I want to argue for the why not too high, because engagement of stakeholders is not opportunity. Engagement of stakeholders, like, to me at a very high level, is that they're actually involved more than we perfunctory. Like, we invite people, I get it, we invite people,
yeah.
But I think we still have a lot of ways to go to really get authentic, engaged stakeholders. That's why I would pick
it. So, 3, 4, or 4, 5 is, I think we are all working hard
mm-hmm.
to do this and do it better.
Yes.
I think we all have to do it now. The funding sources that we get are very dependent upon how we are responding to the community needs. The metrics that we're measured against is about success and performance and equity. So if we're not doing this as well as we should, we're going to have to. But I know that our district is more heavily engaged in this because we have to be.
Right.
Because the money is being tied to it increasingly.
We had arguments for 3, 4, and 4, 5. Anyone else want to chime in? How many feel there should be a 3? Well, 4 is an option too. How many would think 3, 4? Peter, and you can keep repeating yourself. How many would settle for 4 normally? How many like 4 or 5? So I'm going to do a 3, 4, 5.
Can you go back to settle for 4 again? Can you, after that, vote?
Okay, well, how many want 3 only? How many like 4 only? How many like 5 only? And I'm going to do a combination. Like 3, 4.
We can live with 4.
We can live with 4. I think we're getting too many combinations.
I do too.
Yeah.
I mean, we gotta make a commitment to our.
Meaning we're better than average, but you know there's more to do. Okay, we're going 4. So if you look at their definition of a 3,
right.
It basically says you're doing well but need additional work to be addressed.
I see. Okay.
A 4 is doing very well and need only a few improvements to be accepted. So you're working on this, you're engaging stakeholders, but you know there's still more you can do.
Okay.
Okay? Yay! Take a 10-minute break. And we'll start at 11:00. And we'll have to start right around 10:00 to join the hour into the next few months. Thank you.
That I was referring to earlier. I'm not sure.
I thought when I read region service providers, it was a 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your other competitors. I think it's a 5 of you. You are the regional partner.
Okay. In the past, they have asked for similar information, and they have referred to all of the service providers in the area.
Okay. Who could get clarification on that?
I'll get to it, but not before.
Lance, can I just pass this around if people can see? This is the table they wanted completed as one of the documents. And I had assumed that it was for the 5 members of the region who will confirm if it's also your competitors. But I'll just pass around so you can see the table. Okay.
Okay, we're going to talk about the 3 priorities, and I need you to turn to the strategy map. And it looks like this. And I'm going to walk you through how you read this, because this is what we used as the basis for the 2014 strategy. And it's going to be input today for figuring out what will be the consortium priorities for the next 4 years. And across the top, we have the mission. And we talk about the indirect beneficiaries, which is the region, our partners, taxpayers, local businesses, and the economy. And you'll see under that the red bubbles. And the red bubbles are all of the direct beneficiaries. So these include individuals who are seeking high school diplomas or equivalencies, immigrants and non-English speakers, adults with disabilities, and individuals pursuing career changes in employment. And this is consistent with what the state priorities are. Do you follow what the red bubbles are?
Yes.
So those are the people we want to serve, correct? The state has identified 5 program areas. Those are in blue: elementary, secondary, basic skills, citizenship, ESL, workforce prep, education programs for adults with disabilities, short-term CTE, and then apprentice programs. Those are the 5 priorities, correct? So those are givens. The yellow areas are what we focused on in 2014, which was what do we need to do as a consortium to achieve these outcomes in helping our adult learners and delivering these program areas. And in the teaching learning dimension, we came up with bridges and pathways would be critical, curriculum alignment, but we may want to think about combining those. They could be combined, could they not? Integrated assessment, counseling student support services, accelerating the student progress is taking way too long, technology, and then leveraging existing regional structures. Those were what the group came up with as the key things we could do. Under faculty and staff development, it was interesting to me our earlier discussion this morning about professional development, that was the one area where they felt there could be a shared and more centralized professional development across the region. And then we get down to the fiscal area, and those are in green for money.
And then we're looking at performance-based funding formulas, needs-based funding, multi-stream adult education and resource allocations, and then financial incentives for collaboration. What we're going to be focusing on today are really those yellow bubbles in terms of what you feel you need to do differently as a consortium based on what you figure what you want to do differently that then will drive in some ways what the funding allocations may be. Does that make sense? Are we okay? Yes?
Yeah, I just want to maybe make a friendly suggestion for the chart here, which, as it's noted at the top, was part of our AB86 lens, right?
Right.
And so now that we're actually in implementation and working toward a new plan, I think we should also add the performance metrics that the state has defined, or AB104 and all that, the CAPE now, the California Development Program. So those would be, you know, the literacy needs, completion of diplomas, translations, all of those pieces that are actually called out in the legislation that I think would probably be helpful, because I really like this chart. It's very useful when we're working with stakeholders who may not be as familiar with this work. I think those outcomes somewhere, I think, should be noted.
I think that's great. We could build that in as an outcome. And this is going to tie in, as you'll see later, in terms of state's desire to know outcomes. Yes.
Yeah. And I just wanted to add that the state now has increased the number of program areas to 7. And I just wanted to make sure that we incorporate the other 2 so that we don't leave them outside, you know. So we have re-entry into the workforce and then working with parents to help children succeed. Succeed in school, right?
Succeed in school?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'll add that.
Thank you.
Any other additions, modifications? Does it sort of help to put on one page what are the key ideas and notions? So in 2014, we spent a lot of time building it. I'll add 2 additional ones. We'll add a metrics one across in this as well. If you go on to the next page, the slide, these were the priorities after we built the strategy map that in 2014 we said we really want to focus on. Bridges and pathways, which included assessment, curriculum alignment, industry-specific pathways, and strategies for accelerated student progress. The next area was comprehensive student support with the individual student plan, counseling best practices, student community support. And the last one was all about data, that we need data for accountability, data warehousing, and information systems. Now, since this is an updated plan, one thing for you to think about, which is why the assessment was very important. What are the areas as a consortium that we made progress in, and we just keep doing what we're doing, we're fine, and we can just keep improving it, versus what are the 3 to 5 areas, if we really were to focus on them in a more robust way, to really move the needle, would really make the consortium and the student outcomes stronger. So what we're going to need to do in the next hour is to identify what those would be, scope what work would need to be done in those areas, and figure out a way for you to determine who should serve on those action planning teams to hone out the plans. You think we can do it in an hour? Yeah. Now, fewer is better. So what happened last time, I said ideally fewer, so we came up with 3 with a lot of subheadings under them. But 3 would be sort of a nice number. There's nothing magical. I just found when we've worked with other organizations, once they get beyond 4 or 5, it spreads too thin. Okay. So it's not that you stop doing what you're doing, but, you know, do you need to do more professional development? We had a lot of consultation around that. Do you need to do more in the data warehouse? I mean, I don't know what it is, but I wanted you to go through the assessment, look at the strategy map, and look at this, and let's talk about ideas that you feel a consortium
to really be part of the focus. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Bob will take notes. Yeah.
Just want to note that on item C, we actually have two additional strategies that we identified. Item C was technology-supported instruction, and item D was LEREC's website.
Supported
instruction. So under C, there is a small C, technology support instruction, and D, was LEREC website.
Yes.
Again, a technology focus. So, you know, think about the organizational assessment, think about what they focused on, think about what you really would like to see improvements in, and let's see what comes up with it.
I would like to see pathway work in the sense of articulation is one way of doing that, but really looking at if a pathway starts in adult school, how does it end in community college for our students? Because that's where the state's going across the community college system. So I feel like if we can create that in the adult level, that would be really helpful for funding and legislative work.
And I would take it through the 4-year level.
Yeah. So, you know, we start at adult school, go anywhere, and then, you know, depending on what the focus is, but really developing that out.
Can I propose that it not only be to the 4-year, but 2 3-years? Because in some way, the fear might be after
right.
adult ed, it might be after 2 years.
Both tracks, basically. Correct.
Yeah, I want to give an end to that, and then I would add, I think we want to look at whether it's adult school, community college, or in some cases it may be community college to adult school, right, depending on the pathway. But I'd like us to really prioritize non-credit to credit versus non-credit to non-credit.
Where are you doing that?
So in other words, what we hear with LAUSD sometimes, there's an interest from college to create a non-credit program at the school or co-locate or set up some agreement, when in fact, when we look at it, adult ed, is that something that we either already offer or could offer? So, from the student perspective, what we're trying to do is, you know, again, we're looking at the pathway. Our goal is more moving the student from non-credit to credit versus moving the student from we're already non-credit to another non-credit program.
Our goal is not to. So when we look at, when I work with my dean, let me just answer this way. There's one of four places a student can come into our system: into non-credit, into credit, into non-credit CT, into credit CTE. My goal is, and with AP 705, is for them to go from the high school, the adult school, into our credit program, if that is their desire. What we find is in their ed plan and their goals really drives that conversation. We find that a lot of students want to continue their education. They don't want to pay. The only place for them to land if they do not want to pay is non-credit CTE. So we explain, these are your options. If you're willing and you have your high school diploma, you can apply for financial aid, and these are your credit menu or liberal arts menu that you can take at that point. If you do not want to pay, this is the only menu that's acceptable to you. Our goal is for them to go into credit or whatever, and what drives their placement is their educational goals and their conversation with the counselor.
And
so,
I agree.
It drives to them the desire to not just pay.
That's kind of where I'm going, because I agree with everything that's been said. I think, you know, we have coordinated in some cases very well in terms of looking at the strengths of a particular adult school or college, maybe a group of schools. Again, I want to see us maybe go a little deeper in this next 3-year cycle so that we're not necessarily looking to duplicate effort, but more look at where's the sweet spot of what adult ed offers versus community college, and where can that articulation or connection happen so that we don't have, and I'm not saying this is happening across the board, but in some cases where you might have an adult school and a community college building the same pathway, instead of really before the classes and programs are developed, we actually sit down and map that out ahead of time so that we don't have what could be sort of competition that really doesn't make sense.
Right. So I want to ask another amen to that direction, in the sense that the whole idea of a consortium is to try not to compete with one another, but to try and leverage resources across the area. So there is that should be a goal. Sometimes there are practical realities that make that difficult, whether it's politics, whatever, but I think we should state that as a goal of what that we need to, really need to work towards that.
So we've got pathways up there. Okay. What else? So right now I want to throw out your biggest pain points. Like, what are the top things? Go ahead.
No. And you guys can't say LATCB either. That's enough.
And we don't have to keep talking about pathways. What's another one?
For me, I would like to see coordinated, intentional, professional development and collaboration that aims at the strategies that we listed, that I feel like we can pick out things that we're doing everywhere that align with these, but I would like to see it be like a coordinated, intentional, this is what we're going to do for PD, this is what we're going to do for collaborating on these items for the consortia. So like, and really create that engagement with our faculty and our administrators. They feel like we don't have them involved in what we're up to in LARIC.
Can I jump on the PD piece of that? Because I have support teachers through PD for improved student outcomes, specifically around curriculum, instruction, and assessment. Like, those areas are always, IEP is within an instructional strategy, right? All of these things are geared towards helping teachers help students in the classroom. So that coordination of it, I'm just thinking along the lines of curriculum, instruction, and assessment are...
But it'd be the professional development, it would be in a strategy map. We're looking at the yellow bar there. Uh-huh. Something that was a long conversation about how much professional development is really going on. Okay.
In collaboration.
What else? Yes.
Well, you have to get a turn. So we have to create programs. I think it's necessary to start with in order to move people that are coming out of our specific programs that could transition into a credit program. Because we train people and challenge them that could articulate into the credit college program.
Okay, so preparation to move from non-credit to credit.
That should be our goal, because that's the only way that we can get to the pathway, to really work together as teachers.
And a pathway may be a tool, but they may be additional skills to successfully succeed in the pathway that you're saying. Okay, yes.
I want to speak up for counseling that faculty. I would like to see that consortium, all of our members together, the vision that this is helping students to the entire thing, and we have common agreement on evidence-based methods of making sure people know what they're talking about. Right now, I think we might be a little bit all over the place in the different districts, and even at different schools.
So I want to make sure we taught that. What I'm hearing is you want to make sure you codify best practices and you share them and they're evidence-based driven.
Yes.
Did we capture that?
Yes.
Okay, and that ties in with the data elements. So we need to have good measures.
So collaborative and cooperative.
So Lonnie and
collaboration and
one of the things that LAU is doing is we have navigators, so we're helping them navigate the workforce development system, but maybe you need a counseling navigator as well to help them. So maybe that's a resource that can be developed, right? So you're looking at staffing and you're looking specifically at the counseling support.
Counseling and student support. So right. How those.
Yeah, I think there's two separate things. There's counselors, right? but then there's also folks that support that transition effort, whether they're called advisors, transition specialists, those folks that help students sort out, here's where I want to get to, and how do we connect all these dots, right? Because I'm at a basic skills level, but I want to get my RN degree. How do I work with the student to connect all those dots?
Okay.
So for data and accountability, I think it would be important for the consortium to, one, define what efficiency is. I think that efficiency. I think that it would be much better for us to define that term than to wait for the state to define it and us have to live up to it. So number one, and number two, to define common goals for the consortium.
So in theory, this regional plan should define your common goals. But let me ask you on efficiency. Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes a controversial word in education.
Very much so, yeah.
But I suggest that it might be what are the common management principles or operating principles and how we're going to work together. And in that could include efficiency, like unnecessary duplication or overlap, what have you.
Yes, exactly. I think that, you know, one of the things that the state, that the legislation includes is this nebulous concept of efficiency, right? And actually, that concept is tied in with funding and the determination of reallocation of resources based on that. And so, again, you know, before the state defines it in a way that may not be as you know, friendly to LEREC, I think that we should find, or at least attempt to establish what that may be. You know, whether that is defined as you described it, or in some other way. You know, so that we continue to drive the innovation and the improvement of the consortium.
Okay. Others.
Well, I like the concept of consortium goals, but I think it has to be layered in there the reality of practice and policy at the different levels. We are governed by 1725, which is we don't own a lot of these processes that are being described, so we cannot force that move. We can create the culture, but we cannot mandate curriculum. We don't have that authority to do so as administrators. You know, so there's different things that I can create, and I think I've been pretty good, Bob can say yes or no, of creating a culture to move curriculum, because if you look at just what we've created in the last year and a half, it's unprecedented across our district. But there's something that I cannot move as an administrator based on the level that I work at.
So in those areas where there could be opportunity.
Right.
Okay. Other ideas. Again, I'm trying not to scratch any ideas off.
No, I don't want to add, but I just want people to realize, because then what happens is it comes back, well, you're not doing articulation agreement. I can create the culture to do that. That's a faculty-owned process in our district.
Okay.
So I think it's really important to understand.
I appreciate that you're writing things down. I'm a little concerned that the interpretation of what you're writing down may get lost. So I want to say one thing that I would like to add to anything that's on there, and that is everything in a coordinated and collaborative effort. So anything kind of that speaks to it being coordinated and collaborative. Does that even make sense?
So, you know, I'm not trying to check all of it.
Yeah, I got
these
it.
These are just a job of our memory.
Right.
So that you go, oh, yeah, we talked about that.
Right.
And I may have misinterpreted it. I just want a word to you.
Got it.
Ms. Veronica, we have spent some time with other organizations defining values and how you're going to work together. And that almost could go as part of your operating goals.
I just want to add to common goals, which I think are really important. But as we know, a goal, you can't measure a goal, right? So a goal is, hey, we all want to be collaborative and great, and all are on board. What I'd like to see is very specific measurable objectives that we could agree to assess at certain periods, whether it's quarterly, and really, again, instead of like 10 or 20 different ones, we get very specific. And that we check in on those periodically to see how we're doing and assess progress. Because I think if we have too many goals and that's our focus, then it's difficult sometimes to assess, are we meeting it or are we not? We're not sure, right?
Okay, so I'm going to fast forward on it. If you look at this slide, and say it only wants 3 to 5 SMART goals coming out of you. Okay? So those are going to be given. By the end of the summit, we're going to be proposing what are the 3 to 5 things you're going to say at this stage that you're going to accomplish in the next 3 years. What they also want is a logic map, and I'll show you what that looks like. You're going to get this, is what I'm trying to say. So whatever you decide to focus on, they want to know inputs, they want to know what activities are driving to your desired outputs, and they want short-term, intermediate, and long-term outcomes. So that's your accountability point. So I don't think we need to put it up there as a priority. It's what we have to do as part of this planning. Are you comfortable with that? Okay. Okay, so how is our list shaping up? What do we have? How many are on the list, Bob?
Oh, 25.
I'm waiting for the top. Well, I mean, you can look up for it. I'm going to pick up the ones on this. You know, then I have to try to say that I went up it.
Moving from not ready to credit, there was kind of one with a note about preparation to move from one to the next.
Can we have the words like pathways, transitions? Because I think the idea is that helping students transition from where they are to the next step, to the next step. So that transition may be, that may include things in acceleration, things, but it includes a transition along, and that's.
Included in that discussion was a mention, a comment about tuition thresholds or hurdles or the business of moving from non-credit to credit. I think Adrienne had mentioned that and are connected to it. There was mention of built-in community college sweet spots.
That was you.
And I heard that as a pitch for coordination for people working together to see where the leverage is.
Well, yeah, and then also too, it's kind of like where's that point at which we're bringing the best of what adult ed brings, the best of what the community college brings, and looking at that versus trying to maybe replicate the work. You know what I'm saying? So if we're looking at a CCD pathway, let's look at what's an adult that really does well in that pathway, what we've gone to, you know what I mean, and approaching it from a strengths-based perspective, and really doing more planning in advance versus more after the fact looking at it.
We had a discussion about leveraging the consortium resources. Right, and there was some thought about service, and that will come back up later in another point. Better professional development coordination. That was something you were mentioning.
High performance administration.
Yeah. Counseling best practices. That was brought up along with evidence-based outcomes.
Oh, yes. I want to tell you what I spoke about in one of the great ever returns to CPE career based program.
And that is, again, articulation with faculty. So I know we've done that on a small scale in the sense of very particular programs. I know we're doing one with the Venice Adult School into West LA dental hygiene program, but it's the faculty getting together, reviewing that curriculum to see if it meets whatever the entry standard is into that pathway, and then figuring out. And so I know with the Venice one, they're looking at
there are three or four courses that equal our one or two courses, just because of what we've approved at the state.
But the separation from non-credit status.
Right.
So that PP is career thing about education. It's part of the important courses that we are looking at.
Following up on Judy's comment, there were people talking about expanding professional development beyond just the counseling, including advisors and other people who are helping to guide students along these trends, along the pathways. There was a request to pick for common goals, and I think that's apparently what we're doing. And also a footnote that said those goals need to reflect the existing requirements and the limits that are there. We're following comment upon comment. Define efficiency. I think that was Eulante about it. The state's saying we want you to be efficient, so it's up to this group to figure out what that is.
Now, are we talking here governmentally, operations? What efficiency? What are they doing that way?
I think that those are actually all of the aspects of efficiency that we need to define. Because, in essence, the state is saying right now, if you don't submit a report on time, that is lack of efficiency on a consortium. So we have some very wild interpretations of the term out there, and I think that we need to rein that in to focus on whatever the consortium feels efficiency is. Right? Unless we define it, it will be defined by somebody else and imposed on us. And I think that if we do that first, then we can drive the state to consensus over what that may mean and how can that be applied elsewhere. So from that perspective, we're talking about program-wise, we're talking about goals-wise, we're talking about instruction-wise. So I think that those would be the major components that we may want to look at.
Right. Everything that we discussed in the previous page on this page should feature and support and give priority to coordination and collaboration as we work together. And finally, and you were just speaking this, to include measurable objectives so that there are things you can point to suggest we do this.
Right. One more thing, something that is missing from the list, and I know this is all implied and included, but I think that it is important for us to focus on all of this work as being student-centered. Because we have a lot of processes, we have a lot of institutional requirements and funding and whatnot, and we need to make the student the center of what we do. That's part of the legislation as well.
Okay. So, what I'm going to suggest is Charlotte has consolidated these down to a little bit shorter list. So, I'm going to ask her to put it up and look at how she's clustered them. And as she does it and talks you through it, think about what would be your top three. If we have to go with more, I've got little dots that I'm going to be giving out that you all are going to be thinking. But let's look at it a way that we can look at this in a little bit more of an integrated way. So far, we've sort of scattered the ideas up there. Okay,
so the first one I came up with is what I'm going to put as pathways. And that includes pathways from high school to college, from adult ed to CTE, and corporate courses. So it's a whole transition into pathways. That's the first one. The second one is counseling.
Mine is on its way.
And this involves more than just professional development counseling. It involves best practices counseling. It involves PE especially mothers who are not counselors, but are working with the students to help them work from where they start to where they want to go, the long-term goal. So it's a broad encouragement of special counseling. Third, I put it as professional development.
How they make the student outcome, student-centered, the instruction assessment.
And I wouldn't care for this separate, but I put it as separate, because there's another one I think that people have been talking about in a lot of different areas, and I would call it integrated planning, which is managing not just as individual districts and colleges and community colleges, but as an entity to say, we're doing all these things individually, but how do we integrate our planning so that the outcomes are more consistent and collaborative, and we are collaborative when we try. I'm putting that one down as integrated planning. And I don't know want to put a different one down here, but included in that, I think, is some of the things that Gail was talking about in terms of values, efficiency, and how to make sure that all of these are actually turning to a governance system that puts you in the strength to move forward. That may be beyond what you want to do. I wasn't quite sure to capture all of it. It may all be 12 minutes here, but I don't know what you guys think about that. And in that, I was trying to talk to some of the other things.
Yes, for under pathways, I wouldn't put counseling there. I would put it under student supports. I mean, that's, I think.
So not call it counseling, call it student support?
Well, I think student supports with
it.
That's what I want. Okay, we're good.
It's
okay. Okay.
Even
four separate
ones. Counseling, special development, and great time.
Oh, okay, I'm good
for
with that.
That I saw. But there may be some there's a lot of broad discussions, but
I missed the translation.
Yeah, but student support is still very important, though. Success coaches, counseling goes beyond just a counselor. It includes success coaches. It includes people who help students stay on track. It includes mentors. It includes placement. It's a significant student support function.
Student success and support, and counseling is part of that.
Yeah, I would say that.
But again, I just. To get to the success, they have to have the support, right?
Student
success support, not student success and support.
Yeah. So the support needed for students to succeed.
Yes.
And then
there's this variety of categories. There's mentoring, tech coaching, there's all kinds of things that fall into that. Beyond the certificated counseling.
These are going to be obviously related as well.
Right. Well, I think integrated planning. I think that's the same as pathways in our system. I mean, honestly.
I see pathways and transitions. I see integrated planning. I wrote as you were writing that. I saw that as more like the operational things that Larrick White operational concepts. Are you talking about integrated, not integrated training? You're talking more like that we.
I was trying to capture a lot of what you're talking about.
Right, the collaboration and the cooperation.
Let's make sure everything we do together as an operation. If integrated planning doesn't capture what words you put on it.
Well, I think when we use the word, for example, like integrated planning or pathways, for example, they have very distinct definitions at the state level because they're the words that are going into the formula being built. So I think if we're going to use that word, which is fine, we have to use it as it's defined at the state level. So integrated planning at the state level in our system is you're bringing all these programs together, and how do they overlap, and you put everybody on the same pathway or guideway. So it's integrated. You're bringing all these different stakeholders together, and you're planning a pathway, right? It's not necessarily policy and procedure. It's more than that. It's, you know, I don't know.
So I'm leery of using any definition that is limited because of what you guys have to do that's attached to something that's very specific.
But you're automatically attached guilty by association.
Collaboration.
and collaboration.
Collaboration.
Coordinated and collaborating for Larry.
Right, yep.
So it's your governance, principle of operating.
Because these plans go to the chancellor's office. So, I mean, we're using this, the same language as being used. Yeah.
So actually, are we understanding what we want to accomplish when we think about supporting the community as we go forward?
So we're talking about LERIC. Collaboration, collaborative operations, something in that.
Is that one of our goals?
We're going to figure it out.
Okay, because it seems like that's a foundational piece, but not necessarily a practice that we pull out in a separate goal.
Yeah, I wonder if it might be useful to define some guiding principles, you know, where collaboration could be one of them, student-centeredness could be one of them, you know.
Guiding principles versus the priority.
Exactly, versus the goals, right? And then we adopt both to ensure that we're addressing all of the concerns throughout the consortium. And that we are as inclusive as possible of all of those elements that are really very important.
So this is the topic. Let's get a run through. We have math headaches. We have professional development. We have the non-credit to credit prep. We put that into the pathway. Evidence-based best practices. Metrics. Okay. I think that's a different category. So, are these some of the big ideas? I'm going to give you all three dots. Take one and pass it on. And you can put two dots on one. You can put all three dots on one. You can pick three, whatever you want to do. But take three dots and pass them on.
If it's not a focus area, it will not be able to do it.
I think so. We do have to guide principles because, like I said, there are certain things that if I knew were guiding principles, then I would probably, you know, put the priority be one thing. As long as the guiding principles, like student centers, the collaboration is a guiding principle, then I know I'm not happy that it's going to be left out. So that's.
I think that's the only thing. Yeah, I understand. The question is, do you think it requires a specific focus or something like that?
Okay.
From adult education to college to four-year universities to careers, to, you know, the CTE, the whole gamut. And then the next one was professional development. Okay? So those three seem to make sense. I wanted to comment that this one on LERIC and your operations, I almost feel that's something that you as an executive board have to hammer out. And I don't know if you want us to work with a subgroup working on this, but I think there is an acknowledged concern in this area.
The one that had the lowest points is metrics, and the state is going to require that we have the milestones. So you are going to have those short-term, intermediate, long-term goals. So are we comfortable in terms of the action planning teams to focus on student support services, pathways, and professional development? Okay, now, I have it at 12:10. Can we take 10 minutes and break into three groups based on which topic you're most passionate about? We have worksheets, and I'll show you the information that I'd like you to share for us to use when we meet with the action planning team. I'd like for each of these three topics to know, what is your goal? What would you like to see as the outcome of the executives? Who's your target population? What progress, what things have you done so far in this area? What are the challenges you really know need to be overcome? What is the scope of the effort if you can think about any benefits? But if you can cover the top four areas, that would be great. So do I have a group that would be most passionate about pathways? Okay, so here's a pen. Go over by Charlotte. I'm going to write pathways up there. And if you want to talk about pathways, go there. The next group is student success. Where's Bob? So go over by Bob. Are there people who really want to help scope that one? Go there. And the last topic is professional development, and I will take it. What's the best poster to use? I'll go over here. Okay?
Lance, where do you think I'm going, Lance?
We're going to take 10 minutes, and then we're going to have to talk about who you want to invite to work on these topics. But let's first brainstorm what the content will be.
Okay. Breaking into groups.
So come on over. Come on down.
So, where did they go? What time are
you coming here?
See, that's where
you can join you.
I don't know if anybody group wants to volunteer.
I think they're all gone. They're not going to their meeting.
Only for a very short period.
Okay.
Is there a group leader? But
Joe?
We need somebody to talk this through.
Nutrition is important.
Halfway.
So you get to read out.
It's going to be because I got a salad maybe. Sure. So our group, we talked about this idea that was brought up earlier about LARIC. At least, at some point we had talked about kind of working on a sub-regional basis around specific pathways. So this would involve actually those entities, say in the east, your ELAC getting together with a SLOSN, getting together with a Montebello around a particular, industry or educational need, and literally those entities getting together and planning their programming accordingly. So this would require a high level of coordination and plenty of time, so maybe like a year out, right? It's, one or two pathways maybe as a sub-region you want to focus on. And we want the focus to be on those high barrier populations, so your re-entry, displaced workers, maybe immigrant students, low literacy, sort of a focus on those high barrier populations. Challenges, of course, we do have a lot of silos going on. And we know that, obviously being a former principal, you're really focused on building up your school. You're not always looking at the bigger picture. So it would be a challenge and a bit of a culture shift, but very doable, we feel. We also talked about this idea of we're all sort of chasing after sometimes the same employers or the same community partners. Like, oh my gosh, I got to do an advisory board meeting, right? So we're all chasing independently these different entities where maybe as a region we bring them in and work with them collectively. And we just had a couple ideas of Montebello we just found out they're building a really great pathway with ELAC around logistics forklift training, right? So that was great. We're like, wow, we're not offering that. That would be a wonderful thing to work on that pathway. So those were some examples. I don't know if I missed anything. But.
Okay, and with this pathway, we are talking about pathways from adult ed, from non-credit to credit, credit to community college universities to careers, but it's all about workforce economic development.
So it could be from like a Culver City small ABE ASD program to Venice, if Venice has the program, or so. Yeah.
Are we good? Okay.
Such a claim. All right, so student success slash counseling is what we were working under here. Goals is student achieved goals, right? Basically their own set goals. That's what we're doing, the study plans. And in addition to that, of course, we have certificates, transfer matriculations, I would say transitions as well, and employment, gainful employment, right? So we're looking at livable wages or an improve in terms of wages. So in terms of target population, this is all students, okay? All students. progress to date. So we have a STEP system pilot that is coming up fairly soon. Okay, so that's the student transitions an educational plan. Okay, this is the reincarnation of the individualized student plan. Okay, so we have made some strides as far as that is concerned. We also have the counseling collaboratively recently incepted as of this year. This school year, and then we have LAUSD navigators, right, you know, to help people transition from training to the workforce, and then the counseling resource guide. That is something that was created by the work group last year. And we also have challenges is how do we assess student progress? So that is all in place. It's something that the STEP system is supposed to help with. Additionally, we have consistent, collaborative, accurate messaging. Okay, that's a huge challenge, right? Because we want to, as a consortium, to be able to provide similar answers to our students, right? So regardless of where they go, they get the information that they need. And if the person that is at one site or another is not able to provide that information, to refer them to the office where they would get that specific information, because one of the things we discussed is a massive amount of information out there, and probably not one counselor would be able to answer all questions that there are. Scope of effort. So we're looking at better career planning tools, and importantly, multiple touch points, right? Not just an orientation and then, you know, we'll see you at graduation, but actually multiple touch points so that we are able to maintain that communication with the students and make sure that they're focused on the right career pathway. and comprehensive orientations and intrusive advising. So we thought that that was important. A lot of times, particularly many of our students do not seek counseling opportunities for whatever reason. So we need to get in front and provide them with the information that is relevant and important to them.
So what about articulation agreements or alignment between adult schools and the community colleges as part of student success? Shouldn't we also list that?
Absolutely, I think that would be fantastic.
And why would that be part of counseling?
Yes.
Well, it can be anywhere as long as it's there. Okay?
Yeah.
You've got to have the articulation and the.
More importantly, I think it should be in multiple places because it happens all over the place.
Develop there and ensure that everybody knows.
So our nine colleges touch every one of these schools.
Yes.
In articulate line, we're in a much better place for the students. It's similar to what happened between the CSUs and the community colleges with the AAPs, the AFCs, the associate degree transfers, mandated legislatively finally to happen, for that to happen. So after decades of students going from community colleges to CSUs, they said, sorry, we won't accept your poli-sci one as good as our poli-sci one. That stopped them. We can do something statewide legislatively, but even within our own consortium, try to avoid that. Mm-hmm. That would be a good thing to do.
Yay.
Yeah. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Absolutely. Can you repeat the words?
It's with the articulation agreements or an alignment between the adult schools and the community colleges.
The two parts of it is under pathways we may define them, and then here they would counsel the students about them.
Okay.
So they know how to vote.
Exactly.
Let's go on to professional development.
Yay.
I realize we're running over, but
I'm waiting till everybody's here because we're so excited. Just in case you didn't figure it out.
So ours was in professional development. The goal was a coordinated PD plan with timelines, universal calendar, that it's promoted and attended, right? So we don't just have it and then hopefully people find out about it. And that it's aligned with the strategies of our regional plan. So they're not outside of our regional plan. There's like, what are the things within our plan that we need to make sure that our target population, faculty, staff, administrators, counselors, these are the people in the trenches, right? They're the ones doing all the work. So they have the information that they need. They have the best practices, all of that, opportunities. And then really the key stakeholders, right? And this improves the engagement piece that seems to be we're struggling with. But the ultimate beneficiary of all of this is the student. So really leading to improved student outcomes. So progress to date, we got excited to go to the other stuff. But so we've had some PD delivered, but not always completely coordinated. And but we had the IET. I know a lot of people did the IET training. We did some of that PLC training. We did the FSI thing recently. So there has been stuff going on. The challenges, buy-in to participate. I think that one of the things is people feeling the relevance of everything. So really trying to design things that apply to as many people as possible, but then also not doing it because it doesn't apply to 100% of the people, right? Okay to have, and this is kind of that idea that understanding some of the restrictions that you have around curriculum, let's say, that there's still opportunities for the K-12s to do some PD around curriculum or instructional practices that meet that those needs too. And then scheduling, obviously, is a challenge. Like, when do we have this? So, I mean, ideally coming up with a calendar as LERIC that we know, that as a principal, I can plan better for having my staff attend things. Budgeting, so there's that famous money conversation. And then how will we know if the PD results in improvements? So we have to create some metrics and then the follow-up. So the goal is not one and done PD. We know that doesn't work. Research shows that doesn't work. So how do we have PD that has follow-up to see what the outcomes are? So we talked about coordinating and sharing trainers and expertise so that it exists within the consortia. How do we leverage that kind of stuff? Having some kind of menu that... that we can tell me what that one training opportunities. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Subject matter experts.
Giving that value to those subject matter experts that they are. That.
Love my writing.
Right.
Real meaningful alignment.
Yeah, real meaningful alignment across everybody, and then leveraging those human resources as human expertise as well as those physical resources. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Team?
Yeah.
Anybody? Anybody? Yeah. Anything we missed?
Mm-hmm. Got it.
We're just a little excited. Yeah. Okay, maybe I'm just a little excited.
I'm
very anxious for you to get ready for your afternoon meeting. I've got time signed up to talk with everyone. I need to know if you are prepared to send people next Friday to be part of these work groups. And something I want you to think about now that you know the three topics is subject matter experts. I really like you to think about who you want to send who know professional development, who know the student counseling, the student support services and pathways. You may politically need to add more people who are interested and would feel if their voice weren't part of the room, we would be missing them. We're looking for each work group to have probably about 15 free from each of the school districts. We know some of the smaller ones may only have one or two. We can handle larger, so LAUSD and LAPD need to spend more than time. We will start the first meeting with them all getting the same common information that you all have had. So they will know what the planning is about, they'll all know what the three topics are, and then we're going to break into three groups that Bob, Sharon, and I will each facilitate to develop the plan. Okay? So, do we need to talk about how you're going to pick, or should we just let each school district pick up to 9 people to send? Or 12 people to the larger? Yes.
So, for LAUSD, we're looking at, I think, up to 4 per group.
That's fine.
So I think that would be like 28.
No, that's fine. No, there's 2 topics. No,
there's 3 topics. Only 3 groups.
So we have pathways, student success support, and professional
development. Okay, so I just want to make sure we want to try to start that balance.
So LA US will be sending it about 4, maybe 5 per group. We're going
to discuss.
Yeah, and Montebello, Culver City, Burbank, can you all send at least 3?
That's my goal.
That's
your goal. So basically, that day, so every one of those days is going to be all of those people, but they'll be in break in sessions, right? But at the same place at the same time.
They're going to be here.
Got it. Okay.
And some of it will have.
I'm sending half of my staff, by the way.
Some of them will have them all together to make sure they have the same information. They'll work. Sometimes we'll have them come back at the end of the morning to share.
Sure.
But their goal is after 3 sessions to be ready to come back with you and present what they think should be done.
Got it.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So are you okay to send 3 at least?
Yeah, we can't send 28 because that's our entire staff.
Okay, yeah, at least you have 28.
And okay, and how about LACCG?
Yes, I'll have representation.
Okay, so we're all good?
But I have a question.
Yes,
we are good. So the question is, so my dean's asked me because these areas are very focused and a large number of our faculty will not be able to participate. Is there a way we can do a survey asking them for input?
Okay.
And then that way it will make a lot.
The dates of those meetings were on here.
Friday.
Okay, that would be good. Okay. And then people can choose to distribute it or not.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are great. Next time I see you, I will be out of the boot. And
what time are they?
Good
morning, everyone.
I heard say it's me.
So thank you very much.
Nice job.
Action from the meeting. We got the dates. What are the times? Just so I remember.
So, Adrian Ann, what are the exact times? Is it 9 to 12 or is it
12:30?
9 to 12.
Okay.
9 to 12. 9 to 12 on a Friday.
So, the idea is 3 hours.
Okay.
I just need to make sure I email everybody right now.
We said 9 because we didn't want people to have to drive to their district and then drive here.
Yeah.
We wanted them to be able to come straight here, so it eliminates that extra.
Right.